in John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 29, we read these words. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, that is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." And this is God's word. May he write its eternal truth on our hearts. Let's go to God tonight in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the very Lamb of God. And our God, we pray that as we reflect on this passage and what it means for Jesus to be the Lamb of God tonight, that you would fill our hearts with great joy and with wonder and with awe at our Savior. And our God, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. It was John the Baptist's task to prepare the way before the coming Lord, the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist here sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I want us to reflect tonight on what it means that Jesus is the Lamb of God. The word Lamb is used many times in Scripture, but several times, in particular, more than 100 times in the Old Testament itself, which would have been John's background for this statement. And about 90% of the time that we see a lamb in the Old Testament, the context is that of sacrifice. Israel's sacrifices. And in fact, more than sacrifices, it carries with it the idea of substitution, because we're told in the Old Testament that God's people were to put a hand on the lamb, and then the lamb was to be taken and sacrificed. And by putting the hand on the head of the lamb, the worshiper was identifying with that lamb. That lamb became the substitute for the worshiper, the one who was put to death instead of the worshiper. Several times in the Old Testament, we see these lambs and sacrifices. The most prominent was the daily sacrifice. We are told in the Old Testament, both in the book of Exodus and later as well, that the daily sacrifice, sacrificed morning and evening in the tabernacle and later the temple, was to be a lamb. Daily, a lamb was sacrificed. Daily, God's people would see a lamb being offered up in sacrifice. We see the lamb and other sacrifices as well, other kinds of offerings, especially the guilt offering, but that daily sacrifice of the lamb would have stood out in the minds of God's people, Israel. Also prominent, however, would have been the Passover lamb, the Passover sacrifice. In fact, as we read in our passage this evening from the Gospel of John, No bones of Jesus were to be broken. Now, we can talk about what that means on a number of different levels, but first and foremost, it means that Jesus was to be treated as a Passover lamb, because in the instructions for Passover, God tells his people, you are not to break the bones of the Passover lamb. And Jesus is that Passover lamb who is sacrificed for his people. And you remember the scene of the sacrifice of the first Passover lamb. When the first Passover lambs were killed, their blood was taken and put on the door frames of the house of the Israelites. And God then passed over the house of the Israelites on that night when he killed all the firstborn in Egypt. And this blood on the doorposts was a safety for God's people. It was deliverance for God's people. It was, in a literal sense, the turning aside of the wrath of God. Because that's exactly what happened at Passover. God's wrath was poured out on the people of Egypt, and all the firstborn in Egypt were killed. But that lamb turned aside God's wrath from his people. The same Greek word that we find here in John chapter 1 is actually found in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in the passage that Dean read this evening from Isaiah chapter 53, of the lamb who was led to slaughter. And Jesus was that lamb who was led to slaughter. And as that passage says, all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here we see this wonderful Old Testament image of Jesus as the lamb who was sacrificed, not just sacrificed for no good reason, but sacrificed as a substitute for us, for our sins, taking our sins on himself, identifying with us, and bearing the very wrath of God so that it might be turned away from us, his people. Isn't it interesting that it's a lamb consistently in the Old Testament? One commentator writes, the lamb is the quintessence of unblemished innocence, and therefore the perfect symbol for substitutionary atonement. The quintessence of unblemished innocence. When you think about a lamb, you think that lamb can't hurt anyone. Why kill that lamb? Jesus, of course, was unblemished, without sin, innocent of all guilt. And yet Jesus laid down his life for his people. The sacrifice, the substitute who bore the very wrath of God. But there's one more key reference in the Old Testament to a lamb, and it's actually the very first reference in the Old Testament to a lamb. The first time we see the word lamb appear in our Bibles, it's back in Genesis chapter 22. It's in the story of Abraham and Isaac. And you know the story well. Many of you, Abraham was called to take his son, his only son. And that phrase is repeated several times in Genesis chapter 22, where God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, repeat it again and again. And Isaac is told to go and to sacrifice his son Isaac, his heir, the one that Abraham had waited 100 years for, literally. I don't mean that figuratively or in a hyperbolic way. He literally waited 100 years. 100 years old when he had Isaac, his heir, the promised heir. And Abraham went, and he was obedient to God and God's command. Isaac actually willingly, at the end, gave himself to be sacrificed. This was a central story for the Jews, this story of Abraham. But on the way to the sacrifice, on the way to the place of sacrifice, before it became clear exactly what was going on, Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. All the Old Testament sacrifices point back to Genesis chapter 22 and to this central biblical truth that God provides. Salvation is God's provision. It is all of God. And the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God not only means that He is unblemished, not only means that He is without sin, not only means that He is the sacrifice for sins, but it means that God has done it. God has won the victory. God has gained our salvation. We don't do it. It's all of God. Notice John here in John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Not one of many. Not one in a long line. Not one among others. He is the Lamb of God. And that Lamb of God takes away the sin, not just of Israel, God's old covenant people, but that Lamb of God, as John said, takes away the sin of the world. It's for all who believe in Christ, who trust in Christ to be the one, the only Lamb to be sacrificed for sin. Our forgiveness of sin, our reconciliation with God is found in Christ and in Christ alone, that wonderful Lamb of God. We conclude looking at this passage this evening. John actually, if you caught this in the reading twice, in verse 31 and again in verse 33, says, "I myself did not know him." Now that should strike you as odd if you know the biblical story, because Jesus and John were relatives. They were cousins. But John says twice here, I did not know him. Of course he knew him. In one sense, he knew him. He knew Jesus. He knew his relative. He knew him according to the flesh. Humanly speaking. But he did not know him according to the Spirit. And many today know Jesus according to the flesh in human ways. Many who are in churches today have an acquaintance with Jesus. Maybe it's a deep acquaintance with Jesus. They know a lot about Jesus. They know a lot of what Jesus said, what Jesus taught. But they don't have true knowledge of Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. They are not trusting Him as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world and who takes away their sin. And my prayer tonight is that if there are those here who don't truly know Jesus, you may know Him. You've sat in church all your life. You may have an acquaintance with Jesus. You may know of Him. You may feel like He's a good friend. But if you've not truly trusted him and him alone for salvation, then you don't really know Jesus, this Lamb of God. Now, as we come tonight to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we come to remember this Lamb. We come to remember the death of Jesus Christ. We remember his sacrifice. We remember tonight that that sacrifice was as a substitution in our place, bearing our sin, bearing the very wrath of God that it might be turned away from us. We come tonight remembering this perfect, unblemished, innocent Lamb who willingly went to the death for us. But it's only for those who truly know him. This supper tonight is for those who know him, who have trusted in him and him alone for their salvation, who are trusting in Jesus Christ as the only provision for our sins. The Lord will provide, Abraham said. The Lord has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone as the provision for your sin, don't partake. But I do pray tonight that you would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You would put your hope, you would put your faith, you would put your trust in him and in him alone. We will sing of that Lamb of God, and then we will celebrate the Lord's Supper this evening. But let us pray first. Our God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect, unblemished Lamb. That one who took away our sins, if we are trusting in him alone for salvation. We praise you for Christ, our sacrifice. And may we come this evening, because Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. We come to celebrate the feast. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.